Well, before we start tonight, any of you men or young men have a scripture that's been a blessing to your heart in recent days? I think of Psalm 73. Maybe there's particular spots you go when you have a great need. In Psalm 73, 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's just one of those powerful verses. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's Psalm 73, 26. Any other men, young men, have a passage that just or just a word of testimony, Lord? Little Jeremy. Amen. Amen. The scripture is true. Praise the Lord. It's hard in construction to do a lot of things with just one. It's hard. Amen. Any others? Men, young men? Give you a chance. Little Jim? Amen. Amen. That's a precious verse. Amen. Any others, man, young man? Brother Ken? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, we have so many blessings. We do. The power is on. We have vehicles to get us here. Food, clothes. So many blessings. I was just reading in Indonesia, they had a volcano erupt. I don't know if that was this morning, but it hadn't erupted since the 1600s, something like that. So many blessings we have. Amen. Amen. Any others? Yeah. Brother Jerry? Amen. How true. When we see things so bad, we see some tendencies to turn things around and we get our hope, but we know that's not going to do it. It's only the Lord. Amen. Amen. Any others? Men, young men? Brother Steve. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It'd be worth it all. We was talking just out a little bit ago. It's like seeds, corn seeds, just one seed, just the hundredfold times. And it'll be when we get to heaven, really, when we understand just faithfully sowing the seed of God's word, just what all was brought forth because of it. And it's just a, it is. It's a life of faith sowing, and it's encouraging when we see some fruit like that. Amen. Amen. Any others? Men, young men? Brother Josh? Amen. Amen. How true. Just the minute pride comes into our lives, and we're just we set ourselves up for a fall. Amen. Amen. Powerful verse, Brother Jerry. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, they both kind of went by the way, haven't they? You know. Amen. Any others? Men, young men? Okay. Okay. It's good to hear what the Lord is doing in your hearts and lives. Let's take our Bibles in and turn, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. You've had to set a few minutes now. Why don't we stand for the reading of the scripture? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and what? Heresies. That's number 13. We'd like to look at a fruit of the flesh, heresy, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these many testimonies tonight and how you work in each of our hearts. Lord, how you use the scripture to prepare us and protect us for things that are coming along. And Lord, I pray that you would do that tonight, that the Holy Spirit would minister thy word to us, that we might be better equipped to face this week and the rest of our days here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Heresies, number 13. Heresies means opinions, doctrines, or practices contrary to the truth. So heresies, opinions, doctrines, or practices contrary to the truth. And that's from Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. The world is filled with opinions. Filled with opinions. For many years, the editors of newspapers had their chance at opinion. It was in the editorial column. Now it's in every column. Every inch of a newspaper now is open game for opinions. But it seems like it used to be they just reported on the news. Maybe it just seems that way. Maybe they always had their opinion slant anyway. But it seems like today that it's even more. Opinion is right in with the news itself. But it used to be, in that editorial column, maybe once a week, the editor of the newspaper would get his chance to just give you his opinion of something, okay? But now today, via the internet, every day, thousands and millions of people can give their opinion. On internet websites, news sites, often there's the news, and then if you want to comment or if you want to give your opinion, down below that there's a spot you can do that, and a lot of people do. Every news item in a day that comes out, and below that on many websites, many people give their opinion of the news, whatever it happens to be, that day. And so more than ever, it doesn't cost people a dime, you know, to give their opinion other than their internet access. Other than that, it doesn't cost them a dime. So there's just never been a time in the history of mankind when there is such a worldwide forum, a worldwide platform, a worldwide speaker system to give your opinion. And not that everybody reads it, but it's open to people of the world. You can click on any of these news sites, and if anyone cares to read it the world over, they can read your opinion. And evidently, people think that a lot of others read it because there's a lot of people that do. They comment on the news. So, like this morning in the bulletin there, Moscow, Russia, you can put your opinion on one of those websites, and if there's someone in Moscow that can read English, they can read your opinion. Or Amman, Jordan, they can see what your opinion is. Or Casabellato, Italy, or New Delhi, India, or wherever else the orders were from this week, they can read. So what a time in history when our opinion can be heard. Even greater than Mars Hill. Notice in Acts 17. Acts 17, probably one of the greatest spots in history prior was Mars Hill. To let your opinion be known. That's what they specialized in. Just telling what they had seen, what they had heard, what they thought. In Acts 17, Paul got a chance to speak there. In Acts 17, verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. So he was so stirred. He started in the synagogues, his Jewish brethren, and then he went to the open market, kind of like, you know, we do in church. We preach the word, and then we go out on the street and preach the word. That's kind of what he was doing here. But verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, some said, what will this, what? Babbler say. You see, because that's it. Many people think when we give them the information about God, they just think we're giving them our opinion. And so they just say we're babbling. Other some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That's strange. Isn't it strange how far off people get? Because of what? Their opinion. Remember, heresy is opinion. But it's opinion and ideas contrary to the truth. There's only one true God. And Paul was talking about him. But to them, he seemed a setter forth of strange gods. It's no different today, is it? Oh, that we could get a group like that was in Washington on yesterday just to preach the gospel. I mean, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. It'd be wonderful. It'd be awesome. Well, so they took him from the marketplace, verse 19, they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. I mean, they specialized in hearing opinions, ideas. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that what? Made the world. Where did he start? Creation. Isn't that where we have to start today? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If they don't even understand that God made the world, they're not going to understand anything else. He started out with creation. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So on he goes and relates it to their own poets in verse 28. In a sense, we're all people are the children of God, in a sense, because God created man in his own image, but man fell into sin in Genesis 3. And so he was dead spiritually. In John 3, he needs to be born again. But the lost do not understand that. So Galatians 3:26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I was explaining that to the guys at the jail. One of them didn't understand it about this matter. Well, isn't all of our father God's? John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. So I'd explain to them that about being made in the image of God, but then falling into sin and being separated from God. And so the devil is most people's father today. So heresies, opinions, doctrines, or practices contrary to the truth. Our opinion doesn't mean anything. And I suppose one of the hardest things in life is to not make people think it's our opinion. I remember years ago, a Jehovah's Witness came to the door. And I said, well, I believe that Jesus is God. Okay, well, they believe something different. So where are we? My opinion against his or her opinion. That is one thing we have to work on. Don't say, I think, or I believe, even though it is eternally important what we think and what we believe. But when you're dealing with someone else, it does not matter what I think, what you think, what I believe, what they believe, because that's just in the realm of opinion, in the realm of what a person has been convinced is the truth. What we need to say is, God says this. God says that. Don't even insert, I think, or I believe. When the Jehovah's Witness comes, just say, God says his Son is the Almighty. Hebrews 1:8. Under the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Don't even insert, I believe, I think. Just say, God says. And we need to make that such ingrained in our conversation that they'll not walk away saying, well, they think. They'll walk away thinking, they keep saying, God says, God says, God says, God says. And that's what they need to dwell on and being convicted of. God says this. Because there's all kinds of heresies, all kinds of opinions or doctrines contrary to the truth. Notice in Proverbs 19. Joseph and Daniel got this across to the respective kings, which they dealt with. Hey, king, it's not in me. It's not in me. It's God. And Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of who? The Lord, that shall stand. It doesn't matter what I think. You know, as Brother Jim mentioned, that desire in our hearts to get across to the next generation the truth. I know it takes a lot more time when we turn to passages. But you know what? I want you to see it in your Bible. Because many times when you see a passage enough in your Bible, you can find it again. You'll know what side of the page it was on. You'll remember what side, which page it was on, left or right, probably the column. You might not remember exactly the chapter. You might remember the book. If at least you can remember the book, then you'll start thumbing through looking for the right spot, the column. And so the more that you not only hear, but the more you see. Brother Steve gave me an excellent not tape, but disc with this matter of copying the scriptures. Because then you have to see it in detail. It's like it's even better than just memorizing. But when you memorize, you have to think through the verse. As far as even which preposition or verb is used, you know. I mean, you have to really think it through. And then other times when you're kind of refreshing your memory about that verse, you have to look back every once in a while because sometimes you tend to put a different preposition or different verb, whatever, in that spot. So it makes you be more precise. And so when you write it down, it's not only seeing it, hearing it, but you're actually having to actually write it yourself. And we need to see that the counsel of the Lord, that stands. Verse 21, there's many devices in a man's heart. Man has all kinds of ideas. Man has thrown out the word of God. He has all kinds of ideas. And so what does he have to do now? He has to add more laws. Like we talked about the hate crimes. We didn't need that before. We had the Bible. Now we've got to make up all kinds of extra laws. Everyone has their opinion, and it's always been that way. When I was young, my dad and my grandpa Rector liked to tease each other about their vehicles. My dad was a Ford man, and my grandfather was a Chevy man. My dad had Fairlanes, Comets? No, it didn't fly. It was I think Mercury made that Comet. We had one of those. We had a Torino. A Ford Torino. It was grabber blue, bright blue with a black vinyl top. And I mean, it looked fast, but boy, going around corners, it wasn't too stiff on the suspension. But a Torino he had, and then he upgraded to a Pinto. You remember how? I guess I'm showing our age. Amen, Brother Terry. This is age night, and Brother Jim. Pinto, what is a Pinto? Some of you young people probably say, what is a Comet? Is that Haley's? Not quite. Although it's made its rounds and it's gone like Haley's. That's it. Pinto. Well, it's kind of like an Escort, I guess. I don't know what year they stopped making them, but my dad had a little red Pinto. Put a lot of miles on that car. And then he's had some F-150s. So my dad was a Ford man. But my grandfather, he had Chevelles, Impalas, Malibus. In his older years, he went to Caprices, a little bigger car. So they had some good-natured joking. You know, my grandfather's cars would break down, and I don't know how many times I heard my dad say to him, "You just need some Ford grease. That'll fix that Chevy." And he just always. And then my dad's vehicles, the Fords, would break down. And so my grandpa would say to him, "Frank, you want me to pull that Ford to the garage with my Chevy?" And, I mean, they just went back and forth. Now, be careful with Brother Jim and Jesse, because there is a new generation of rivalry rising up. So watch what you say around this church. If it was about Fords or Chevys, boy, you'll be in big trouble. So we all have our opinions, amen? Just be careful who you give your opinion to. But as Christians, we need to remember that when it comes to our faith, it's okay with a car to have an opinion. But when it comes to our faith, it's not okay to just have an opinion. We need the facts. We need the facts. And we need to share those with others. Notice in Proverbs 21 and verse 30. Proverbs 21. in verse 30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. No wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. I don't care what opinion people have. If it's against the scripture, it's not going to hold up. Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3. We need to emphasize what God says and just keep it totally out. I believe, I think, just take the I right out of there. Just say, God says, God says. In Proverbs 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, because when we give our opinion, we think that we're wise. I mean, we think we have something that's worthwhile to share with people. Well, if you don't want to know what I think you ought to do it this way. That's our opinion. But when it comes to spiritual truth, we need to make sure, just take the eye right out. When it comes to abortion, keep the eye right out of it. It's not, I think, life starts at conception. It's not, I believe, life starts at conception. What we need to just make it clear is that God says, God says. Just take the opinion out. God says life starts at conception. Well, how do you know that? Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Are you pro-life or pro-choice? Well, God says this. It's just, you know, people are always trying to put us in a camp. They're always trying to divide us into groups. Just, hey, it doesn't, don't try to put me in a group. Just, you need to look at what God says. In Psalm 139, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me, where? In my mother's womb. Oh. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Sounds to me like God is in control. In the moment of conception, that's a life. He has something planned. In fact, in his book, he has all my members written. Sounds to me like God says a life starts from the moment of conception. Look in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. What does God say? It's so easy. And people will try to lure us. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Do you think this is right? Do you think this is wrong? And the minute we start to say, well, I, just pull those words back in. Just say God. Whatever it is, God says this or that. Isaiah 49, verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from what? The womb. Who formed me? The Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. You see, no one listened to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And it was Isaiah that said, here am I, Lord, send me. And the Lord says, okay, I'll send you, but they will not listen. And so Isaiah here is saying, you know what? In the middle of the verse right there, verse 5, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of who? The Lord. Why? Because his ministry was not based upon the reaction of people to it. His ministry was based upon the Lord's calling him to do a certain job. And with all of us, it's that way. Like Brother Ken and I was talking about the corn. You can plant a corn seed unless it's a year of drought or blight. That corn seed is going to bring forth 100-folds. But many times when we plant spiritual seeds, in that season. We just don't seem to see a lot happen. But it's in eternity. Eternity is when we're going to see the real fruit. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. It's God that says life starts at conception. He doesn't say life starts when the baby is born. Life is in the womb. And Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee, where? In the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Interestingly, no one listened to Isaiah, it seemed. No one listened to Jeremiah, it seemed. And so God is telling both of these men, you know what? From the very womb, I had a plan for your life. And don't you worry about whether man accepts my plan for your life. Just do my plan, and you'll see it's worth it someday. You'll see it. So people say, well, what do you think about music? Do you think rock music should be used in the church? Don't say, well, I think or I believe. Just say, God says, Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5. Don't give them any ammunition against you. Just say, God says. God says. What does he say? Ephesians 5:19. God says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and what? Hymns and what? Spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Don't give him any ammunition just to ridicule you and mock you. Just say, God says, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? Colossians 3:16. Many times God says something twice. He should only have to say it once, but like with certain things, Pharaoh, he doubled the dream to have him see the point. Colossians 3:16, God doubled this point. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and what? Hymns and what? Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So if they say, are you against this type of music? Just don't give into their trap. You know, the old mice traps, you know, used to be always spring-loaded. And now a lot of them have gone to this just, it's sticky stuff. You know, the mouse just gets into it and is just stuck to it. Well, the world tries to do that to us. I mean, if they can't, you know, clamp down on us, they'll try to stick us, something to us. Don't let them do it. Just say, God says, God says, God says. They say to us, well, don't you think if Jesus was here that he would use some of these worldly means to try to get the world in, to gain their ear? Don't you think Jesus would sit in the bar, today, to, you know, hey, if people would get saved, don't you think he would be willing to sit in the bar and overlook their smoke and of course they would think Jesus would drink, that's what one well-known preacher in the Grand Rapids did, went on a sabbatical and he drank liquor on it. What does Hebrews 7 say? Don't fall into the trap and say, well, I think Jesus would do this, or I believe Jesus wouldn't do that, I believe Jesus would never do that. Don't get into that trap. Just say, God says this about Jesus and his life on earth. Hebrews 7 and verse 22. Hebrews 7, 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Verse 26 is the key verse. For such an high priest became us, who is what? Holy, harmless. What's the next word? Undefiled. What are the next three words? Separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Don't get into the trap saying, well, I think Jesus wouldn't have done this, or I think if Jesus were alive today upon earth in his physical flesh again ministering, I think he would or wouldn't. Just tell him, you know what? God says that Jesus was separate from sinners, that he was undefiled. And of course, they're probably going to bring up, well, Jesus sat with sinners. So you're going to have to go to Mark 2, Mark chapter 2. Take them there. Don't be afraid. Whatever passage they bring up, don't be afraid of that passage. Go to it and study it. In Mark 2, no, Jesus never sat in a bar. Jesus never sat where sinners were committing their sin. What you'll find is that sinners followed Jesus. He didn't follow them. Mark 2, verse 13. Mark 2, 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, what? Follow me. Notice he didn't sit down with the tax collector. He didn't just sit down with him. Tax collectors were notorious for charging too much. He didn't sit down with Matthew and become best buds, thinking, well, I've got to win Matthew over. I've got to win Levi over, so I've got to sit with him where he's at. You know, I've just got to overlook him overcharging all these people because I've got to make friends with him before he'll ever trust me. No. He said, follow me. And that's always the call we've got to have to sinners. Don't sit with sinners. Psalm 1. We sit with sinners, we'll be the ones that are in trouble. No, he called the sinner out of his sin. Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, this is so important, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat, where? His house. Who's his? Matthew, Levi. It's Matthew's house. It's Levi's house. It's a new convert's house. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and what? Sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for they were many and they followed him. They followed him. Jesus is sitting in a new convert's house, and many sinners have come into his house. That's the best time to win people to Christ. That's the best time to invite them to Christ, is when a person first gets saved. Then his old sinner friends will still accept invitations. They'll still come. I mean, until they find out you're an utter lunatic and fanatic for Jesus Christ, and then they'll no longer accept your invitations. But at this point, they still will. Hey, come on over to my house. I want you to meet someone. His name is Jesus. Oh, really? So they came. Verse 16, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So get the context. Jesus didn't walk over and sit with a bunch of drunken bums. Jesus didn't walk into a bunch of guys smoking their dope and sit in with them. Jesus called out one sinner who had a lot of other sinner friends, and so Jesus was sitting at the repentant sinner's house, and all of these sinners gather in. And the Pharisees were criticizing him. Listen, he was in the house of a new convert. Jesus was undefiled, separate from sinners. There's no contradiction there. So, well, we're out of time, but heresy. Heresy is opinion, doctrines, or practices contrary to the truth. It is heresy to say that Jesus would sit in a bar. It is heresy to say that Jesus would sit amongst a bunch of sinners committing sin, drinking their liquor, smoking their dope. That is heresy. That is opinion contrary to the facts of Scripture. There's many other heresies. There's heresies, people baptize babies. That is heresy. We'll close with this one, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Baptizing a baby is an opinion or practice contrary to the truth. The Bible never teaches to baptize babies. And Acts 8, verse 36. Acts 8, 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth what? Hinder me to be what? Baptized. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know what? The NIV leaves out verse 37. Nothing hinders in the NIV. But verse 37's in the true Bible, and it says, "And Philip said, If thou what? Believest. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Well, first, Mr. Eunuch, you got to be saved. You've got to be born again. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I what? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So when the NIV takes out verse 37, it takes out the stipulation. Listen, you've got to be saved before you can be baptized. So, and then it also takes out verse 37, his confession. "I have believed." NIV just jumps to verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So it's heresy to baptize babies. And that's part of the reason why they start sprinkling. You know, because it's not only heresy to baptize a baby, but if you literally baptize the baby, which means to immerse, to place under, if you literally baptize the baby, that would be considered child abuse. You know, dunking that baby all the way under the water. So they come up with all these unscriptural, they come up with all these heresies, sprinkling as if that's baptism. So remember, heresy is an opinion contrary to the truth. And we could spend all night talking about heresies that are so prevalent today. But tonight, if we could just, if one thing could help us, and it's so hard to remember, but when they ask us a question, it's not, "Well, I believe this." It's not, "Well, I think this." You just need to get programmed here. They ask a question, we need to say, "Well, God says this. God says this." Then they can't make our name mud, and that's not our biggest consideration anyway, but the fact is we want to confront them with the fact that God says it. It's not our opinion, it's what God says. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. We live in a world of opinions. And it just seems like with the internet, it's exploded. People's opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. And Lord, help us to see that our opinion is not what matters. It's what you say that matters. And Lord, we know it is eternally important what we believe. And Lord, may our beliefs be right. May our beliefs not be heresy. May our decisions be based upon the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.